Blog Talk Radio.
Livewire.
June on a beat. June on a beat.
I done got blood tag level registration. When they rap behind me, I'm hesitating. Fuck it, I'ma take them home. Throw the bank up. Fuck it, I'ma take them home. Throw the bank up. And on top of that, I got a whole sip of cups. Pull over for the boys, nigga, nope. Fuck it, I'ma take them home. Throw the dope. Fuck it, I'ma take them home. Throw the dope.
What's up, guys? It is another edition of the Fantasy College Basketball Podcast, sponsored by Fantasy Squad. The date is April 4th, April 5th for those of you on the East Coast, 2015. We had a great day of basketball. I am your host, Walter Waddell, the ambassador. I think I've earned that role at this point for Fantasy College Basketball. Had an absolutely just great year with everybody doing these shows. I just don't want it to end, and it won't. But this is basically our last show in terms of recommendations and plays. DFS is over for college basketball. Unfortunately, it's a sad day, I know. But we have a lot to talk about in terms of recruits and draft stock and players and everything else. The big news of today is the evil emperor, John Calipari, has been defeated by your Wisconsin Badgers. I definitely saw this coming. I got a level with you guys. I thought Kentucky would lose this one. I was not very high on them. They did play in the SEC. Yes, the SEC beat each other up. Yes, the SEC has good players and good teams, but I'm sorry. I don't think Kentucky really saw teams like they're seeing now during the course of the season, and they got exposed. Wisconsin exposed them. Notre Dame really exposed them. And they just weren't as with it as a lot of people thought. A lot of people thought they would march to the end and finish the undefeated season. However, they I don't think they had the personnel to match up with Wisconsin all the way. And John Calipari didn't do any favors to this team by going 10-11 deep all season and getting them in and out, not getting them any, consistent minutes, consistent reps, forming a nucleus, letting it gel. You know, we see some of the most successful teams in college go seven deep. I really think seven or eight deep max on teams is the money spot, to be honest with you. That's just it, rarely do I see a team super deep just roll through and do big things. It's nice to have depth, but relying on a 10-11 man rotation has been the story all season for Kentucky. We talked about it way back in August during when we started first doing these shows, and how it would be tough DFS targets. And like I said, they got exposed today. Calipari, he got outcoached today. I don't think anybody can argue that. He got outclassed. Outcoached. I love seeing Kentucky lose. It's exciting. I really can't stand him. I've been it's been no secret that I have not been a fan of his ever since he stole recruits from Washington, Terrence Jones mainly, and I hold on to that, and I know it's very bitter of me, but hey, I've got my moment now. He's gone. We get a Wisconsin Duke final. I know some people on Twitter are saying that this is not the final. This is not good for ratings. This is not what we all wanted. Well, I'm sorry. It is what we all wanted. We all wanted to see Kentucky lose. They lost. Wisconsin's in the final. Great team. Wisconsin. Frank Kaminsky, God, that guy is so good. He is so improved even this season from last season and the season before that. He's just very good. Sam Decker has this elite just, and towards the end of the game mode that he enters now, and he can't be stopped, He's hitting a fall-away three. I mean, who is this guy? Sam Decker, man. He's making a strong case to be a professional basketball player. And I never in a million years would have thought that he'd be taking step-back threes on Kentucky and draining them, being confident, driving to the basket, ice and water in his veins, making free throws, out there, that confident swagger of his. Sam Decker is the definite X factor for this squad. And Duke, Wisconsin is going to be a great game. We're going to get to our predictions on that one and talk a little bit about it. We'll be taking your guys' calls, 347-855-8714, if you want to call in and talk about how you think the game will go, how today's games went. I'm not going to hammer out Kentucky too much. There was a link that I tweeted out a moment ago, Andrew Harrison. They were asked about Frank Kaminsky. And he said something to the effect of, fuck that dude. So, all class, perfect pair. You know, that's just kind of what I expect from some of those guys. I'm not a fan of the way that program's ran, and I'm going to take a strong stance there, and you can call that a hot take all you want, but if you can't win with class and lose with class, I'm sorry. You deserve the abuse that you get from everybody in the media, everybody on Twitter. You can't say fuck that dude on national television about Frank Kaminsky. So nicely done there. Andrew, enjoy your second round pick towards the end by somebody like Utah Jazz, and then enjoy your time in Latvia. I'm sure they're going to love your antics there. Duke and Michigan State, that game turned out exactly the way that I thought. Michigan State was just basically dragged here by Tom Izzo. He's such a good coach, such a great coach. His scheme, the way that he, teaches kids to play defense, how he works around the talent he has. You gotta give Tom Izzo complete opposite of what we were just talking about. Tom Izzo is an amazing man. He's a likable guy, and anybody would want to go to that school and play for a coach like Tom Izzo. The fact that he was able to get this team to the Final Four, after losing Adrian Payne and a couple other starters last year, having Matt Costello and Gavin Schilling, the two of the weakest forwards in the entire, nation, foul trouble galore. I knew they were going to get in foul trouble, and Dawson getting some pretty weak calls, but this team getting the Final Four deserves a big kudos. So I didn't think they had a snowball chance in hell of beating Duke. I was definitely right about that. Duke is playing on a whole other level right now. Jahlil Okafor looked great today. Justice Winslow is continuing the ball. Tyus Jones didn't have the big game that I thought he would, but he was effective. He doesn't need to have a huge game when Okafor and Winslow are playing that well. And they got some nice bench production from guys like Grayson Allen as well. So this should be a great game between Duke and Wisconsin. I'm looking very, very forward to it. Let's take some of your guys' calls. I do have a things I want to talk about, but we'll have some other people jump on here. Caller from the 650, Johnny, what's up, buddy?
Well, Walter, this was a very, very sweet day for me. Betting-wise, I won about 280. Now, I need to hate on Big Blue Nation because this whole thing with this is personal. I told people before the tournament started, I thought Notre Dame would beat them in the round before. Notre Dame outplayed them. I don't regret saying that, but Wisconsin outplayed them. They made the plays down the stretch that Kentucky couldn't make. And Calipari is not an X's and O's coach at all. And he's one of the best recruiters in the country. I'll give him all that. But this is to a point where I think this guy's a horrible coach. He had John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins on one team, and he couldn't win a national championship. That's one thing, all right? Shifting to his Memphis days, he had an actual healthy Derrick Rose against one of the worst national title teams in the last 20 years in Kansas. Mario Chalmers and Brandon Rush, really? I mean, a guy named Khan who's playing in Russia, okay? Those are some of the teams that Calipari has found a way to lose. The one title he's won at Kentucky, he had four NBA players: Jones, Patterson, Davis, and Kid Gilchrist. Congratulations for winning the national championship with Anthony Davis. You really did a great job coaching them up. But on the Duke-Wisconsin game, now here's the deal. I'm going to give you a prediction in a second, but here's the thing here. I've won money on Duke this year. I've won money on Wisconsin this year. I have a small future bet on Duke to cut down the nets. I made it before the Final Four started. So personally, I think Duke wins for just one very important reason here. Duke didn't exactly break a sweat today against Michigan State. And you play who you play, whatever. I mean, this is where the talent level showed. Duke has four, at least three NBA players, and maybe Quinn Cook. I mean, this is what it comes down to for me. Duke has an edge at backcourt, but this is this is the main matchup for that game. You're going to have Justin Winslow versus Sam Decker. Whoever plays better between them is going to win that basketball game. I mean, Okafor and Kaminsky are probably going to cancel each other out, and the spread is already up on that game. Wisconsin's favored by one. So Vegas doesn't even know who's going to win. I'm looking forward to the game because I've won money on both teams, and I'm not going to make a side bet on the game because of my future bet. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. But like I said, I am just beating my chest right now about Kentucky because I saw it coming. They should have lost the round before. That is the most overrated, hyped-up team I've ever seen in my life. And the Harrison twins swearing during the press conference, that's funny. That's good. I hope he enjoys playing in the D League, okay? I mean, they're
yeah,
not.
I was pretty classless. I think if he even makes the D League, I don't know. I'm not a big Harrison fan myself.
Them. But this is what I got to tell you something. This is for next year. Our boy Sabonis from Gonzaga decided to come back to school for a sophomore year.
Well, yeah, he should. That's great news.
So he's coming back, and I got to tell you, this is what gets me excited. My guy, Ben Simmons from Australia, from one of the academies in Florida in the McDonald's All-American game, had 20 and 11 today and with like six blocks, and he won like the MVP of the McDonald's All-American game. So he's a guy I'm really going to enjoy playing with next year.
Yeah, let's get the take of a Kentucky fan now from the 646. Russ, the biggest Kentucky fan in the world. Russ, how are you feeling tonight, bud?
I'm a little devastated with Kentucky going down.
Devastated.
But on the other hand,
let me mute him real quick so we can get your thoughts, bud.
I'm a diehard Kentucky fan. I actually almost went to the Indianapolis today, and I told Johnny I was either there. I'm actually on vacation in Florida instead. I went to see family. On another note, it was just too expensive. No hotels and all that. I'm glad I didn't go because I would have probably been sick. But I did smack around Sox today. The last day of the year, I beat him in a high stakes head-to-head. So if he's listening, he knows my name. Okay? And I had Andrew Harrison. He had Cauley Stein. I was up by 3 points. I thought he was going to reel me in. But Andrew Harrison did what a man did, okay?
That was a nice game by Andrew Harrison. It's too bad that he had to have that performance overshadowed by his boneheaded press conference. But, yeah, he had a nice game. He ended up letting Gordon beat me by 0.7 today. So I got to give it up to Andrew Harrison with a nice game.
Yeah, and I actually forgot all about the league that you had created. I went back and checked, and I seen my name was on top somehow. I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
Nice, man. Is that going to carry over to next season? You going to smack us around all year or what?
No, you guys are a lot more consistent. I just had to bring it on Sox, you know. End of the year on a good note. I'm glad that we actually played the three-game slate. I'm not happy with the way Kentucky lost. I actually lost some money on that game, to be honest with you. I had Kentucky for a good amount of money today. I don't really want to talk about it. But I just thought that we were going to – I mean, I can't even say Johnny was right. Johnny's been saying Notre Dame. Johnny's been saying against Kentucky every game. But I do give him props on Jahlil Okafor because I watched that Duke game. Okafor is better than I thought he was. The guy could just palm the ball with no problem. Just makes it look so easy. Getting the guys, he got the whole team in foul trouble. I think Duke's winning for this reason. My prediction of that game. Wisconsin, today was their championship game. It's kind of, championship's not a letdown, but that's considered a letdown game for me. Looking that game up and down, I think it's like an emotional letdown for Wisconsin, as sick as it sounds, being a championship game. I just think it's kind of a bad spot for them. But that's just my personal opinion. I mean, Duke's just guard play. I know you love Tyus Jones, and he didn't play great today, so he's probably going to do what he wants. Yeah, I mean, I love Tyus, too. I had him today. He didn't do great, but he's going to bounce back. And then Quinn Cook, they're going to do what they want against Wisconsin. Decker, he's just feeling it, though. When he flexed after that and won, this is how much I know college hoops, Walter. I'm using Johnny's word, not Walter. This is how much I know college hoops. My buddy's watching the game with me. I told him the game's over when Decker did that flex. When it was in the first half, I seen it. I just seen the way Kaminsky was. When you could just kind of look and see how they look confident. I knew it was over. I don't know why, but I just had that feeling. And then Decker hit that step back. I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, I'm glad it was a fun year. I'm kind of upset that it's winding down. Like I said, I'm on vacation right now, and I've seen you were doing one last podcast for the year, talking about the last game. Figure I'd give my thoughts. I'm not happy with Kentucky winning, but I did smack around Sox for a little 500, so that made me happy. And if he's not listening, he definitely knows my name. So I got him pretty good. So and that's pretty much it. I really appreciate the show. We're gonna be back. We're gonna be going all year. You know, we got to talk about our recruits. I watched that Mickey D's All American game the other day. I've been, you know, I follow the Twitter. I've just been kind of busy and all that. But
yeah, for sure.
It's not a good day for Big Blue Nation. I'm glad I saved myself a trip to Indy, because I really was going to go. I just got to Florida actually today. It was either that or that, you know, a little week vacation. But things happen in life. Kentucky didn't win. Big Blue Nation was there. They were definitely supporting the team. They got us. We were up four, and Kentucky just got complacent. And then I'm not even going to keep going on and ramble about it. My prediction is Duke winning in a close, hard-fought game. Jahil Okafor is not going to do what he wants. It's going to be a battle. Kaminsky's unguardable. I'll say that. That guy's unguardable at the collegiate level. NBA, all them big boys will guard him. But collegiate level, Decker's actually projected in the mock NBA draft. Decker's a higher. He's going first round. So, anyhow, that's pretty much
appreciate it, man.
For the night, man. Yeah, I appreciate
it, man.
As well.
Hey, take care. We'll talk to you soon, and we're going to be doing lots. It's not the end. It's just kind of the end of the DFS portion of the show, but we will continue on year-round, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I'll listen to the rest of it later on, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care. All right, got a caller from the 309. I believe that's in Illinois. How are you today?
Good. Hey, my name's Adam. I play on FanDuel as A. Ethan 2. Had a nice night, cleared about 300. I just wanted to call in and say that I found your guys' podcast, and I think it's great what you do. I'm an Illini fan, Big Ten fan, and I think that, you know, I've always said the NCAA tournament's about guard play, and whoever has the better guards generally wins in the end. Tonight's game probably didn't show much about guard play, but if Gosser shuts down Tyus Jones, I just can't see Duke repeating. I think Wisconsin's a different team with Koenig than they were with Jackson. So I think Wisconsin wins a close one, especially because if they get up, it's in the last 5 minutes. You just don't come back on them. So it'll be a good game, though, and I actually might make the drive over and see it in person. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on what ways FanDuel can improve their offering with college basketball. Sometimes I just feel like during the season their offering's so limited. And do you think that there's a way we can encourage them to kind of include some more games, especially earlier on?
Yeah, so I first want to say thank you so much for calling the show and supporting us and listening and saying the kind words. I've had a great time all year long doing it and talking to you guys. And, you know, when you say things like, hey, I cleared 300 today, that excites me. You know, that I love hearing about you guys doing, you know, well just as much as myself. So I appreciate that. As far as FanDuel, you know, making more offerings in terms of, you know, maybe a bigger tournament. I know that towards the end there they did have some larger tournaments. You know, making a bigger deal out of the Survivor. They could have done a second chance Survivor. I don't know if you were around last year, but Draft Street, which was one of my favorite sites, they ran a second chance. So after that first go round, they did run another tournament. One of the things I'd like to see them do is roll out a matchup blocker, which would be you know, similar to some other sites in terms of, you know, maybe you don't want to face Sox in your head to head right. or some games. You could actually put him on the list to not face him, because obviously it's a minus EV maneuver to face him all the time. Not all of us can be Russ and Johnny and headhunt Sox, one of the best players on the site. But in terms of you know, overall improvement and how to get that done, we're pretty vocal on the show. I know it's probably a very little chance that anyone from that site actually hears us. But, you know, sending support, going on sites like RotoGrinders, sending emails, you know, talking to other players, you know, contacting them on Twitter, various avenues like that. And the more we do that, the more of us do that, you know, they'll start listening. We're definitely wanting to see FanDuel also kind of open up their teams a little bit more. They tend to, in the entire season, you know, stay with the same, you know, teams over and over and over. I'd like to see them find a way to include more mid-majors throughout the season so that people can be, you know, more knowledgeable about them early on. You know, include like DraftKings does, top 25 teams, being able to use Gonzaga throughout the year, you know, stuff like that. That's what I think where it'll start. And putting more time and effort into building tournaments. So, you know, the guarantees and the tournaments, a lot of times they would be up very, very late, you know, like after midnight Pacific. And they need to have those up earlier. They need to have some larger, very, very, you know, almost every slate you probably notice, they would fill those out, you know, well before lock, and they would be scared to release any more because they're so afraid of overlay. So that would be the main things of how to improve it, in my opinion.
What do you think about their lack of, like, 50-50 offerings? I know they do some guaranteed double-up.
Horrible.
But I don't know. It just seems like they, like you said, they get scared of stuff not filling up, and then, but they don't offer anything. So how can it fill up, you know, for casual fans who come by a little later?
Yeah, exactly. They that's kind of been a point of contention all year for a lot of the regulars and grinders, is that, you know, only having the 1-2 50-50s and then jumping up to 50 is a little, you know, silly. They need to have $5 50-50s. They need to have $10, 25. You know, more affordable amounts for people to kind of dabble in and play and drive new players in. You know, like you mentioned, they do have the $5 double-ups, which are kind of the same thing. But it is weird that once, you know, random, they'll have $5 to $10 50-50s, and then on slates where they're very, very large, they won't have it. So they definitely need to put more time and effort into, you know, crafting and creating the games. Unfortunately, it's a problem for them across all sports that when tournaments fill, except for NBA and NFL, they don't want to release anything else because they're just so scared. Or they will release another tournament, but it'll be, you know, a quarter of the field of the original tournament, or maybe, you know, a tenth, having a bank shot that's 200 people instead of 5,000. It's, why didn't they just make it an extra, you know, 2,000 people instead of making bank shot number 7? So that's kind of the waste. But I will say that at least it's not DraftKings. I don't know if you've been following or you play on DraftKings, but the problems they're having over there seem to be a lot worse. So at least we don't have those issues on FanDuel, but you're right. They definitely need to take steps towards focusing more on CBB during the season, because I think there's a lot of opportunity. We saw this past fall with college football how it blew up. College basketball has that opportunity as well. It's still very much a niche sport, but if they put time and effort and market and, you know, kind of change their tournament structure around a little bit and offer more games, I think it'll drive new people to play.
I haven't dabbled over into DraftKings. I know their scoring's a bit different, and I'm not sure I love the double-double bonus and the three-point bonus, because it tends to be a little harder to you know, analyze statistically, but the one thing that drives me insane with FanDuel is they'll randomly decide they're going to tighten the screws on pricing. So you'll just click in one day and suddenly everyone's price has jumped like a grand. And I don't think they price it based on an algorithm. I think they have some guy who's dedicated to college basketball who just goes through and makes up prices. I mean, it's a little goofy sometimes. But I appreciate you doing this, and you know, I'll get off and then listen to what else you guys have to say.
Hey, appreciate it, man. You you call in any other time that you want. We're going to be having lots of shows, you know, about recruits and rosters and still preparing for next season, even though it is far away. But I appreciate it, man, and thanks for the support.
Cool. I think next year, I don't think the freshman recruiting class is as good, so I think it's going to be a little bit more wide open for college basketball next year. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, take care, man. All right. I do have a caller from the – I want to appreciate you calling in from Illinois, Adam. That was a great call. Like I said, that it really does make me feel great about the show and what we're doing when you tell me you had an awesome night and you cleared 300. So congratulations for that. I do have Mr. Aquatic Doe from the 240 in Maryland calling in. Mr. Aquatic, how are you today, sir?
Yo, was good with them Mo Duke all day. I tried to tell them, bro. Oh,
man, yeah. They look good today, man. They look very good today.
Man, I wanted to play Kentucky, but I ain't tripping. I mean, it's over. Like, it's over. Like, I'm about to lose to Wisconsin. Like, I mean, at least Kentucky would have been good, man. Like, people was like, oh, you're going to lose to Gonzaga? No. You're going to lose to Utah? No. You gonna lose to Michigan State? No, and we definitely not damn sure losing no damn Wisconsin. We already beat them in Wisconsin. Like, oh man, at least the UK game would have been challenging. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is gonna be so boring. We'll probably win by like 15 or 12. You know, we'll be up by like 8 or 9, and then they'll make like a run, and they'll make it like a 2-point game for like a little while, and then we'll go out by like 10, and there'll be some stupid fouls, and we'll end up winning by like 9 or 8, or between like 8 and 12 points, like, but it just feels so good to know that, you know, the team is so amazing, like, we just got all these freshmen, even my boy Grayson Allen tried to get in on the action today, you know what I'm saying, it's just,
oh yeah, he's actually pretty good, man. I think next year he's going to get some major burn. He's a good player.
Yeah. You know, he just played with a loaded team, you know what I'm saying? It's just our defense is so much better, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't.
I will say this. It probably would have been a little bit, you know, it would have been better for the writers and TV or whatever if it was Kentucky-Duke. But like I mentioned earlier, I'm glad Duke lost. I can't stand Coach Calipari at all. I don't like the way he coaches. I don't like the way he recruits. I think he's very slimy. So I'm glad that they lost. Wisconsin's a very good team. I do think, you know, I haven't gotten to my prediction yet, but I do kind of agree with you that Duke will probably win this game. I think it'll be closer than a lot of people think, especially if Sam Decker's shooting the ball the way he's been shooting lately. That guy's playing out of his mind. But I think that Kaminsky and Okafor will probably neutralize each other a little bit. And I think that my guy, big game Tyus Jones, might have himself a huge game, because I don't think there's anyone on Wisconsin that can guard him at the guard position.
Man, nobody in the world. My man Justice Winslow, oh my God, this nigga is so tight. He is so amazing. Like, I don't think you understand how, but this man is so amazing. This man can rebound. He played B. This man can score. Like, he's real live gonna be the next James Harden, just with better defense. Like, if he get his handles together, oh my God. Oh my goodness. It's just, oh my God. I'm just so excited for Monday, man. we can get this ring. I mean, plus, I was really upset. Y'all can tell me how y'all feel, but I was really upset that they gave Frank that Player of the Year award over my man. Like, I felt like that was kind of disrespectful, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Frank, he a great player and everything, but I mean, it's Wisconsin, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not Duke, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Okafor should have got it, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Okafor going to take that job, like, he's going to take it to heart. He going to, because he know he should have won that award, man, but I mean, Wisconsin, they, I'm not going to say they played tougher competition. They just had closer games. You know what I'm saying? We just was a lot better than Utah and Michigan State. You know what I'm saying? We made Michigan State was beating teams they weren't supposed to beat. And then we made Michigan State look like Robin Morris, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I really felt, I mean, what do y'all think? Do y'all feel like Comiskey deserved it over Okafor?
Well, I mean, statistically, if they're going off of that alone, yes. But I agree with you that, you know, taking into account what a player means to his team and you know, actual game, yeah, I think Okafor is right up there. But I do tend to agree that Comiskey probably deserved the award slightly just because of stats. There were games this year that Okafor got doubled, and that just speaks to the respect of how great of a player he is, that guys can't take him one-on-one. And like when NC State this year and Notre Dame for one game threw the double team on him, you know,
yeah,
that allowed Tyus Jones and Justice Winslow to go off, and it kind of neutralized Okafor. So he had more down games than Frank, but they're very close in terms of, you know, talent-wise, Okafor is obviously there. Frank just works super hard. He's got an amazing, you know, post game. You saw that towards the end of tonight's game, how he flawlessly got to the basket and got fouled with his, like, three steps. For a big man like that to get to the bucket is pretty impressive. But I think you're right. You know, they're going to go at each other on Monday, and we'll see, you know, who deserved that award when the buzzer sounds. It's going to be a great game.
I really don't like Jackson at all. I've never liked Jackson. I can't stand him. Like, they act like Decker is the, like, I don't know who team it is. Like, I thought it was Comiskey's team, but they act like Decker. They act like it's his team right now. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I really wanted to play Kentucky because I had, you know, I wanted to see them, like, lose to Duke, you know, again. You know what I'm saying? But it's cool. I mean, I'll take Wisconsin, you know. I'll take Wisconsin. I just want to win. I just want Quinn Cook to get a ring. I just want him to he worked so hard, man. Senior, you know, staying all 4 years, you know what I'm saying? Probably won't get drafted. Probably have to go to, like, some summer workout camps or some crap like that, you know what I'm saying? So I really want him to, you know, get this championship right now, you know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to call because, you know, Duke is just, I just love Duke so much, man. It's like, oh my God, it's amazing. You know, and I mean, I think, I know Okafor's leaving. I'm pretty sure Winslow's going to leave. I mean,
oh yeah,
Cook will be gone. I mean, Tyus may stay. He may. You know what I'm saying? It'll be him, Emile Jefferson and Grayson Allen and whoever else we bring in, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see. But this is like real life, like a one-and-done type of team, and I just think we need to get it done, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see.
Oh, yeah, they definitely. I think Tyus Jones will come back. They actually have a pretty impressive recruiting class, like every year. They had two kids in the McDonald's All-American game. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not, Luke Kennard being one of them. Very good three-point shooter, kind of like a J.J. Redick type of player. So they're going to be very good next year. But you're right, they're not going to have anyone coming in that's as talented as Okafor and Winslow together. So this is it. They need to win because both of those guys are gone. There's zero chance they come back.
Yeah, definitely.
What's you're from Maryland. I'm getting pretty excited about this Maryland Terrapin squad, man. I don't know, you know, what people are saying there, but I know they're pretty excited. They just got Diamond Stone to sign, and it sounds like Damian Lee from Drexel, who's a very good player, might be transferring there. So they've got a pretty sick team. Are you? What are people saying in Maryland about them?
Well, Maryland is a. It's funny because Dan Wells was. They have a guy that I went to school with that he's like one of the local guys. His name is Deion Wiley, and he played for Potomac High School. And he doesn't play much this year, but I've seen him play throughout his entire high school career. And all I can say is, man, this man, oh my goodness, he's really good. Like he has like a really quick release. So hopefully, next year. I mean, because he's a local kid. So hopefully next year with, you know, Des Wells leaving. Do you think Melo's going to stay?
He hasn't officially said, I don't think, but everything I've read and heard from people around him say he's coming back. And Diamond Stone, who is one of the top recruits in the McDonald's game, he said in his interview that the main reason he chose to come to Maryland was to play with Melo Trimble. So I'm pretty sure he's staying.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people around here are, it's like one of those things was like, it's like, oh my God, we're good, but it's Maryland. It's kind of like people are with the Wizards. It's like, oh man, the Wizards are finally relevant, but they're still the Wizards, you know? So, I mean, when you see Maryland like ranked number 15 or ranked number 10 in the nation, you like, what is this? You know? I really think that they benefited from not being in the ACC anymore, because if they were in the ACC is like the NFC East, you know, they just beat up on each other, you know? It's like you got North Carolina and you got Duke, but it's like now you got Syracuse, you got Notre Dame, you got Cincinnati. Well, no, not Cincinnati. You got even Florida State and Georgia Tech and teams like that. They play each other. They play us tough, you know, the Miami. You know what I'm saying? So Maryland, I feel like they benefit a lot from not being in the ACC anymore. But, I mean, I can't take anything away from what they're doing. They good. I mean, when you rank that high in the nation, you rank that high in the nation.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, awesome, man. I appreciate you calling in and talking about Duke. And on Monday night, we'll do a show, and hopefully you'll get a chance to come on, and you'll be saying that Duke is the national champion.
Yeah, you already know me right here. You with me.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Take care. Aquatic Doe coming on the show. I love that guy. He's hilarious. Big Duke fan. Again, call in 347-855-8714. This is your guys' show, too. So if you want to call in, talk about the night you had on FanDuel, DraftKings, DFS, want to talk about your favorite team, want to talk about a recruit that you're really excited about, definitely, you know, call in and we'll get you on. Until then, let's listen to the soothing sounds of my man who's been very, very patient to get back on here. Johnny, sorry to have to mute you there, buddy. I wanted to get through as many callers as possible.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about Monday, though? You're all over Duke for Monday or what?
I got a future bet on him to win the whole thing. So if I bet, I'm betting Duke. I got Duke winning by 4. So it's just one of those things where it comes down to Justine wins over Sam Decker, and this is the problem. Ever since Coach K moved Justine Winslow to the power forward position, apparently Winslow is outplaying Okafor, which is really scary considering. Don't get me wrong. Wisconsin won me a lot of money tonight, so I'm not hating on them. I'm proud of them because I can't stand anything Kentucky stands for. But at the end of the day, the problem is I've watched Duke's last two games. How hard have they really worked to win those games, Walter? They won by 14, then they won by 20. I mean,
they had to work hard to get those leads, right?
No, they worked hard to get the leads. And the problem is here, the guard play is such a mismatch. I mean, Gasser versus Jones, Koenig versus Cook. I mean, that is the problem. And I told you, when Duke was struggling a little bit in the tournament, they're going to have the best two guards in the country. They still do. And they're still playing. So I just have to believe that they beat Wisconsin. I mean, would it stun me if Wisconsin won? At this point, there's two teams that are playing on Monday. Only one could win. So it just comes down to what I think is going to happen. And I think Duke's just clicking, everything they're doing is right. I mean, hell, Grayson Allen posterized someone today, which was actually funny. And Gavin Schilling is who he is, and he got put on a poster, which was kind of entertaining. But, yeah. But recruit-wise, Ben Simmons obviously is the top recruit coming out. But he also has a guy with him, Antonio Blankley, who also played in the McDonald's All-American game. He's pretty good, too. So you did a nice job replacing Martin and Mickey with those two guys. I mean, they're definitely two guys on my radar,
Also, your boy Diamond Stone, who is going to Maryland, is going to the Mellow mm-hmm. Trimble because I just sent you a link. Yeah, Mellow Trimble's going back to school.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, no, I was just going to mention Diamond Stone to you because I knew who he was. He's a big boy, okay? Maryland's going to be pretty good next year, especially if they get our guy from Drexel. If they get our guy from Drexel, they're probably going to be preseason top 10, okay? And also, do you know the thing that surprised me? Our guy from Villanova transferring. I didn't see that one coming, did you?
No. That's a good call, Alex. Dylan Ennis has decided to transfer from Villanova. He is a graduate transfer, so he'll be eligible immediately to jump on board a team. Jalen Brunson was in the McDonald's All-American game, you know, top 10 guard in the nation, who's headed to Villanova. You know, I'm not really sure why Ennis left, but this is going to open up a ton of minutes for Brunson. Brunson is going to be very underpriced to start the season. He's going to be a non-con hero. You're going to be able to target him for cheap production early. Love Jalen Brunson without Dylan Ennis. Hilliard is gone. He graduated. And Pinkston is gone. He graduated as well. So Nova has some sudden depth issues. I'm not sure the full story of why he left or where he might go, but Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson backcourt suddenly looks very appealing to me.
Listen, and here's a couple other guys. For our Duke guys, because I'm all about recruits and I know, Chase Jeter, he's playing at a prep school in Vegas. He's coming to Duke next year. He's going to Bishop Gorman right now. He's 6'10", 225. He's a senior. He's number 9 on the ESPN Top 100. And the guy you were talking about, Kennard, well, this is what I could say about him. He broke LeBron James's high school scoring record. So, based on that alone, this guy can score. I got all that with him. But I'm actually going to throw some Florida State knowledge down here. They got a really nice class. Hamilton hit the recruiting trail hard. They got Malik Beasley, who's a shooting guard from Atlanta, who's pretty good from his YouTube videos. And they got – there's one more guy they got who's pretty good. Let me see. Where is this guy? All right. I lost my track because I was looking at the ESPN – you earlier, but yeah, Malik Beasley is the one guy I know they got who's pretty good, but there is one guy I need to mention, and he's from your neck of the woods, so I know you already know who he is. Alonzo Trier from Seattle, Washington.
Oh yeah, he's going to Arizona.
You do know him.
He tore up the McDonald's All-American game.
And, Walter, I'm going to give you a guy going to Texas A&M. They're going to be pretty good next year, by the way. Tyler Davis, he's a center, 6'10", 270. He's a big boy. And, there's the other guy I was looking for. The other guy from Florida State, Dwayne Bacon from Oak Hill Academy. Very good.
Yes, sir. He was in the McDonald's game also. Yep, he did some good things in the McDonald's All-American game.
So there's a couple. And like I said, and I'll give you a guy from Stanford who I'm expecting nothing but good things from. Marcus Allen's going to really improve between now and next year. He had a lot of strides. He's going to be a junior. He's going to be playing as many minutes as he can handle without Brown and Randall. So I'm expecting improvements out of him.
And he's going to be a guy that starts off underpriced on FanDuel, so you can target him for sure. He's going to be a nice player without Randall and Brown. He's ready. He showed that in the NIT championship game that he's going to be a high usage, taking a lot of shots. You know, he's got no one in front of him at this point. Stanford's stacked at the forward spot, and guard. It's definitely going to be him. So pretty exciting to see what he can do.
No, he's going to be fine. And they also got – the Stanford got a nice class coming in too. They're trying to land one other guy. If they land him, I'm going to be really happy about it. But they got two guys who are going to be getting minutes immediately. One's a shooting guard, one's a small forward. I forget which one's which. But Sheffield is the best recruit they got.
I'm expecting him to log major minutes early.
You know, while we're talking about this, I got to talk about the Washington Huskies, who are we're pretty much the laughing stock of the Pac-12 this year. That's from where I'm from, my hometown, my home state. They've got some homegrown talent coming next year. DeJounte Murray.
No, you do.
He should have been a McDonald's All-American. He's a four-star player. He's going to be a stud. This kid is going to be so good as a DFS player. He's a 6'5 shooting guard right out of Rainier Beach High School, which is one of the well-known high schools in Washington State. Love DeJounte Murray. Throw him on your watch list because he's going to be a stud.
And I got a UNLV guy out here for you. He's number 27 in the ESPN Top 100. He's a baller. He's from Philly, Derek Jones. I mean, the coach at UNLV is going to have no idea how to use him, but that's the one thing I want Danville to do. I hope they really focus on the preseason tournament so he can use some of these guys who somehow landed at UNLV early. That's the only knock I have on what Vandal does, because we don't really get our mid-majors until the tournament started, like the NIT and all that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Washington's class is really good, and I'll give you another guy, Pac-12 guy, because this is what I do. He's from L.A. Tyler Dorsey, he's going to Oregon. The guy just has a pure stroke, Walter. He's going to be playing immediately, too, because without Joe Young there, they're going to need some scoring. This kid can score quickly.
Yeah, he's good. I've been looking at a little bit of his videos. I just want to say again, I'm very excited about Murray. I don't get super excited about Washington players for quite some time since back in the Nate Robinson days. But he averaged 18, 11, and 8 in his senior year at Rainier Beach. He's the top-rated recruit. He's Mr. Basketball in Washington State, 7th in the region, which is in the West Coast, and he's 47th by ESPN. So he doesn't have the top 10 pedigree, but he's going to be very good, very underrated.
No, and Walter, I'm going to tell you a recruit he's in the top 100, so he's not under the radar. But this guy's going to be starting immediately. Stephen Thompson Jr. is going to Oregon State. He's another guy who's really good.
Yeah, Oregon State's going to be sick with GP2. They've got themselves a nice little team there. They're going to make the tournament next year. It's my early hot take for Oregon State.
And this is the guy I'm going to give a shout-out to, Walter, and I hope Vandal makes this guy cheap at first. He won't end cheap. He's a guy from Simeon, DJ Williams. He's going to Illinois. He stayed home, but he's pretty good too.
Yeah. Who do you think Aquatic Devil just called? He tweeted me. He wants to know who you think will be leaving for Kentucky and who will be staying. Do you have an opinion on that?
The Harrisons are going to stay. Those two guys are – I don't even think they're going to be in the NBA. So if they leave, they're dumb. I think both of them are staying. I think Ulis is staying. And even though in mock drafts he's a top 20 pick, I think Booker's staying. Kali Stein's gone. Towns is gone. Lyles is gone. Those three guys are not coming back to school, okay? They're not. Just say goodbye, it's all right. But I think Booker, Ulis, and the Harrison twins are staying. You still have Lee. You still have Dakari Johnson, who actually might have value with those guys gone, although I know me and you have hated on Dakari Johnson the entire year.
They're just going to reload.
But,
yeah.
Well, they have a – the thing is, their recruits coming in are pretty good, okay? At least according to the ESPN Top 100, they got some good players coming in. But – in terms of the guys leaving, Towns, Lyles, and Kali Stein are gone, but they got the number 3 recruit in the top 100. I'm going to say this name completely wrong, but he's a center. Skull Labrisi. He's a stick, though. He needs to hit the weight room, but he's number 3 on the ESPN U. And then they have a point guard who – let me put it this way. This guy's better than the Harrison twins, and he hasn't even stepped on campus yet. Isaiah Briscoe, he's really good.
But yeah, we saw him in also the McDonald's All American game, and he was making some pretty filthy passes, getting to the paint when he wanted. He's going to be a star for them.
And Walter, here's a guy who hasn't made his mind up yet. Wherever he goes, watch out, because this guy is good enough to win Player of the Year as a freshman. Jaylen Brown, very good. Very, very good, Walter. I mean,
just real quick about Devin Booker, too. He let slip. I mean, he could change his mind, of course, but one of his post-game interviews today, he said he's got some improving to do for his sophomore year. So he may be indicating, unless he's trying to throw us off the trail, that he's coming back.
Well, he needs to come back because if he comes back, that's good for FanDuel because that means he'll be starting, at least he should be. But, yeah, Duke, though, Wiles, Towns, Cauley-Stein are gone. For sure. Ulis is staying. Booker, apparently, according to that, may stay. Oh, and I got to give a shout-out to my guy in Oakland. He hasn't made his mind up, Walter. I think he might go to Cal. I hope not. But Ivan Rabb, Walter, he's really good. He's a power forward who can shoot threes. He needs to bulk up, but he can work on that. He's 6'11", 210. He's good.
Yeah, he's leaning towards Cal, which would be like his home area. Arizona's making a hard run at him. I think he should go to Arizona, but it sounds like he's leaning Cal to stay home.
And Walter,
be great for Cal. They have nothing right now.
No, Walter, and there's a guy going to Marquette. His game looks pretty good on YouTube. I don't know how it's going to translate to college. He's a big white dude. Henry Ellison. 6'10", 230. I mean, his YouTube videos, he looks very fundamentally sound. So I'm kind of excited about him, especially there. Because our Marquette Golden Eagles don't got much, Walter.
So. Yeah, he sat out the McDonald's All-American game because he suffered a broken nose in the practices prior. So we didn't get a chance to see him play, but I hear he is quite the beast, and Marquette's going to be, starting him pretty early, it sounds like.
And, Walter, I'm going to tell you a guy from Michigan who had the freshman start immediately. Deontay Davis from Muskegee, Michigan, he's pretty much replacing Dawson. And I have looked at your boy Jaylen Brunson. He doesn't look bad to me. I mean, they replaced freaking our guy who left pretty quickly. I mean, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but and the last guy I'm going to mention on here because I think I know how he's going to play, and he's another Arizona guy, Sean Miller, the recruit, and this is for Forsey as well, but Ray Smith is really good. He's out of Vegas, so he's a small forward, Walter, 6'8", 180. He's number 28 on the ESPN 100. So, yeah, the cupboard ain't exactly bare for Arizona. I mean, I'm expecting Stanley Johnson to leave, but it doesn't matter if he does. I mean, and by the way, A&M also got the number 33 player, also from Texas, on the ESPN top 100, DJ Hogg. He's another pretty good player. So, yeah, A&M's probably going to be really good next year.
Yeah, there's a ton to talk about. What's a potential landing spot for Dylan Ennis that you would like? Where do you think he would fit in, slot in, and do well for DFS purposes?
I mean, Dylan Ennis, he's going to go to a team that runs because that's what kind of player he is. You know where I could see him landing, actually? I could see him landing in with Shaka Smart in Texas. I really can because the way Smart plays and that up-tempo offense seems like a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. Here's one I think, and no one's probably thought of this yet. Maybe they have. I don't know. Pangos is gone. What do you think about Gonzaga?
See, there you go. That wouldn't be bad either. I like that, actually, because Mark Few will let him do what he wants. Bell's gone, too, by the way, so...
Yeah, he'll slot in just like Wesley did, and get shots, drive to the basket, kind of be their primary scorer on the perimeter. I could definitely see that working out.
And by the way, Walter, your boy Murray is number 49 on the ESPN 100 from Rainier Beach.
He's sick, dude. Don't sleep on Dejounte Murray. He's unbelievable. That kid is so. I've actually seen one of his games locally last summer when I came home to visit my family, and he's crazy good, so good.
No, I mean, I know Washington got a bunch of recruits. I think I think Washington is going to be really good next year because
you didn't lose much, first of all. I mean, you know what you're going to get from Williams-Goss. And like I told you, I think Andrews is, not better talent-wise, but way more consistent. So I love those two guys, though. You know, that's a good problem to have. And
they've got probably one of their best recruiting classes ever. I mean, they've had Brandon Roy come in, they've had Nate Robinson. There's probably been one, two, like, major guys. They've actually got 5 to 6 guys coming in who can all play. Four of them are ranked in the top 100, I believe, at least 3, possibly 4, a couple right outside. Crisp is one of the guys you might want to look at for them. They're going to be deeper, and that's what they need. They with all the injuries they suffered, having to kick Upshaw off the team and whatnot, they ran out of offense very quickly and had to rely on Goss and Andrews and Anderson. But help is coming, and Lorenzo Romar has done a very good job keeping local talent here. Usually they spurn us and head off to the better programs, but the number one way to be competitive in college basketball, as you know, is keeping your kids who grow up around the program. So they've done a great job keeping them, and I think they're going to be really nice. Perimeter-wise, they're going to have one of the best perimeters in the Pac-12.
And, Walter, I got two more guys for the listeners out there. Kerwin Roach Jr., he originally committed to Texas with Rick Barnes. And instead of him decommitting, which is what I thought he was going to do when Barnes got fired, he decided to stick to his commit. So Shaka Smart kept the number 34 point guard on the ESPN Top 100 and didn't even have to talk to this kid. So that's Texas is very lucky that's who they hired, because honestly, if they hired anyone who wasn't a good coach, that guy would have left. And at number 37 from Temecula, we got another Arizona guy, Justin Simon. So, yeah, he's a point guard. So, you know, Sean Miller, doesn't matter who he loses. It's just he reloads. He's hell of a recruiter, good coach. Forks, he's a lucky guy.
Oh, yeah, Shaka Smart is going to have no problem. Texas has one of the best facilities in the entire country. He's going to have no problem recruiting talent, and I think he's going to make Texas the team I want to target for DFS. They're back on my list. Tennessee is off my list. Welcome back, Texas. I'm going to enjoy you next season.
You know what, though? Tennessee is really going to be bad. They lost the leading scorer, and now they got Rick Barnes. I might enjoy just playing players against Tennessee just because I hate Rick Barnes. I mean,
we all do.
No, well, the thing is about Texas, they have unlimited resources and a lot of money. It's okay. The thing is, VCU is giving Smart $1.5 million. I believe Texas is giving them $6 million a year. I mean, what are you going to say? No? I mean, that's a great coach, and I guarantee you, you're going to see an improvement with that team, even without Miles Turner. It's going to be fun for me to watch Texas press people. That's going to be weird, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be seeing them play faster is going to be quite an adjustment. We might actually be able to deploy Taylor with confidence next season.
Well, the thing is with Taylor, I know Shaka Smart will sit him down and wait for the last 5 seconds of the game to put him back in to hit a game winner in overtime. And Walter, I'll still never forget that. I still don't understand that, really.
That started a really bad losing streak for me. I was super rattled. Like I said, I stay very composed. When I have a losing day, I shake it off and go back to work. But that one had me shook. I just couldn't explain it. Missed so bad. Couldn't figure out why Taylor wasn't playing, and I'm just done with Rick Barnes. So I wipe my hands of that game once and for all. If Taylor stays, I know there's been some talk about him leaning towards going pro. Obviously, he's probably not going to make the NBA as a D-leaguer, maybe a Euro player. Hopefully, he comes back, and if he does, he's going to be a nice little 5 to 6K target next year. And you need to take advantage early on for sure.
Walter, did our boy Cameron Payne enter the draft?
I don't think so. He's still making that decision, actually. It changes the rules a little bit.
I think from following Tyler Harvey on Twitter and from what I read on the internet, he didn't hire an agent, Walter, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, well, even that date that you mentioned is still in June. There's an early entrance rate, but they changed the NCAA made their own. So you have to get back with them by April. So they've got about a week and a half to decide. I just pulled up an article about Cameron Payne, and it says according to people around him, around the team and the university, he plans to enter the draft. So Cameron Payne looks like he's going to be leaving Murray State.
Well, that sucks for us, man. That's not what I wanted to hear about him. Damn.
He's projected a mid-first-round pick. So, I mean, if you're going to Murray State and you're projected to be a top 20 pick, I think it's a no-brainer to jump, right?
I mean, the money's there. I mean, but all I can really tell you is I'm excited about next year. I'll buy my Athlon sports preview guide in October like I always do so I can study these new players, but I'm excited for Florida State and A&M. Those are the two teams. I mean, A&M didn't really lose anybody, and another team that's going to be really good next year is probably Iowa State because they lost one guy. So I'm expecting big things from Iowa State, A&M, and Florida State.
My Cyclones will be back. Yes, they will be back. They have Hallis Cook, who will be eligible. He, of course, transferred last season from Oregon State. He's very good. He's a great shooter. He's been around the team all season. What I've been reading about him in practice and shoot-arounds and stuff, he is the real deal. Hallis Cook, he will be 5.1K starting on FanDuel in November. Hallis Cook is going to be my first major value play recommendation for you guys. So remember that when November gets here.
Walter, I do have to mention this and ask this. If you're Rashid Suleiman, how the hell are you feeling right now?
Well, you know, from what I've heard, he's a really big jerk, and he didn't have a very good work ethic. And if you can't get along with Coach K and assimilate into a program like that, then you know you deserve getting kicked off the team. And I don't know where else he could go and be successful. You know, obviously a small school. But I just can't imagine, you know, getting kicked out of Duke. That's a wow.
Well,
I don't
Walter,
know. He's got to be feeling terrible.
Walter, that's the first guy Coach K's ever kicked off the team before. So, you know what I think he's going to end up though? I think he's ending up at Iowa State because Corey Lucas ended up there.
Maybe. I mean, it is joked about from our circle that Iowa State takes on other teams' problems and makes studs out of them. So I could see it.
I mean, I just don't know what else to say about Rashid Suleiman, except I would be really bitter about the fact there that you got thrown off the team for being a moron, and now the other guys and Grayson Allen throwing dunks down on people is playing in the national championship game.
Yeah, and Suleiman, I mean, aside from those rumors, it's also rumored that he was involved in a sexual assault of some sort. So all of these things, you know, basically Coach K decided it's not worth the press, not worth the headache, the problems, and you know, they booted him, similar to what Patino had to do there in Louisville. I mean, you give a guy a chance and he doesn't get it, he doesn't buy into the culture, you're gone. No player is bigger than the program, and I believe in that, and I think coaches need to do that.
No, I agree with that,
so
too.
So I agree with it. Yeah.
By the way, Walker, if Louisville is at all good next year, then Patino, he lost Roser and Harrell. They can't possibly be good next year, right?
Well, you know what? Rick Pitino will find a way, man. I'm not going to say they won't be good because they will find a way. I haven't looked at their roster and incoming freshmen enough to really give you a good analysis of that. Schneider. You're a big Schneider fan. You were the only guy talking about Schneider after, you know, we used him a couple of times when he filled in for Jones, and then when he got kicked off the team, we all kind of ignored him, but you were there with your Quentin Schneider pom-poms cheering him on, and he finished the season very well, so Schneider is going to be a nice high-usage player next year.
I know, looking at the HTMU, I know that Louisville has a guy coming in. I'll tell you the guy's name really quick. His name's Dang Abel. He's a small forward from Florida. He's number 31 on the ESPN Top 100, so he's probably pretty good.
Yeah, and they've also got. I'm just off of memory here because I read a lot of articles. They have a kid from Cleveland State. I believe his name's Trey Lewis. He's a graduate transfer that will be eligible immediately. With Rozier now deciding to go to the pros, they're making grabbing him a top priority. And he's a you look up his stats, he's a very good player out of Cleveland State. So he'll be somebody that plugs and plays for Pekino right away.
And, Walter, your Huskies got a guy from my neck that was in Northern California, power forward, Marquise Chris. He's very good.
Oh yeah, Chris. Yes, that's yeah. He's great. I've been looking at his stats and his stuff. He looks great. Looks like Trey Lewis though made a Cleveland State record 96 three-pointer. So 3-point assassin in a Rick Pitino offense. That sounds pretty intriguing, man. They might have something with him if he joins. There's a couple other teams hot for him, I know.
And Walter, Florida State also landed the number 83 player on the ESPNU Top 100. Terrence Mann, shooting guard. So, yeah, Florida State has three players in the top 100. And Stanford actually, wow, all right, I didn't even know this, so I looked at it. Stanford got the number 87 center in the ESPN top 100, Josh Sharma, 6'11", 225. All right, so they got a big guy. That's actually encouraging.
All the Stanford, man, they've already got some guys ready to plug in. Humphrey, Travis, dude, they're going to be sick. Stanford, did they make the big dance, yes or no?
I'll put it to you like this. It's on the guards. If the guard play is good, they'll be in the tournament next year. If the guard play sucks, then you got problems. The big guys, Nostic is easily replaced. His production, that's not a problem. It's hard to replace Randall and Brown. That's the challenge. I don't know how. I don't know if Dawkins knows how to handle doing that. But I'll say this: I'm not completely sick with the players that you got coming in. You got some good players, and
you know who I like best on that team. I mean, Humphrey's got a lot of potential because we saw what he could do before he got hurt. But I think Reed Travis, without Nastic in a starting role, is going to average like 8 to 12 rebounds a game. I might be out of my mind saying that, but I think Reed Travis is going to eat every single rebound that comes off the rim. I can't wait to see him next year.
You're not wrong at all about that, because let me tell you something. Humphreys, though, has a lot of upside. I'm not going to lie. He played well before. Well, we know about what happened with me when he hurt his ankle. But I'm going to give you a name also on Sam to watch out for. I mentioned Sheffield to you. Cameron Walker is another guy who could fill it up, Walter. So, I mean, I know why he got the number 35 class, because the three guys he got all could play. I mean, Sheffield is the shooting guard, and Cameron Walker is a 6'8 small forward from Santa Maria, California. He could fill it up. And he just recently committed. So that's good. I mean, they definitely, I mean, they're never going to replace the guy who leads their university in points scored in Randall, but they did a nice job getting the guys they got.
Yeah, he's not a bad coach, man. I know you wanted them to make the tournament, and let me ask you this, man. What's your opinion on this? obviously you want to make the big dance, but are you calling it a bust season as the NIT champions? Would you rather they make the tournament and get bounced in the first round? What do you consider more of a success? Oh, looks like we lost Johnny there. That question knocked his socks off. That's a really good analysis there from Johnny about upcoming class. We're going to get more in depth of that, as we go here in the next couple of weeks. I want to talk a little bit about some contests we've been running. We did the McDonald's All-American DFS game, which our buddy Chris Vero won. He had a really nice team, and then the listener leagues that I hosted. The aptly named Fantasy College Basketball Podcast Elitist Club. That was a lot of fun. We're going to do a lot more stuff like that next year for you guys. We're actually going to run a league where I think we'll do it on free leagues on FanDuel and have everybody pitch into a well-known site where, we run it kind of like, $10 buy-in. And then it adds to the pool, and we get crew points and do standings and kind of form our own league. So we're still in the early stages of that, but I think you guys are going to really enjoy that. We'll have two conferences, and we'll kind of host a tournament at the end of the year. So we're really excited about what we have planned for you guys. We're going to be going on the show. We're in the works for a website where we're going to have a forum, message boards, chat rooms, places for you guys to blog, my show, anyone else who wants to do a show, articles. We have a lot planned. We're going to take this to the next level at this point. This is just the beginning, so I don't want you guys to think that we've kind of capped out our potential of where we're at, being in that Chicago Tribune interview online and getting exposure, having different guests, having people talk about the show, having you guys find it, tell your friends. It just all of this makes me very excited. This is one of my favorite things right now, and I'm going to be in it for the long haul. So if we can get this site launched by the end of summer, where we're going to be talking about recruits, we'll have a 24/7 chat room, so that we can give each other opinions, help each other out, build our community, because that's ultimately what we want to do, is have a sense of community. Pride with what we do, have our opinions matter, be able to change things. Just think if we get a site like that up and there's, X amount of, people signed up for it, and that's our community, and we take that and we go to FanDuel and we tell them, hey, this is what we think, and we, have somebody from FanDuel on the show and have you guys call in, and they're going to listen, because that's a sizable portion. I think that in the CBB community and the people that grind day in and day out on cash games, tournaments, FanDuel, DraftKings, Fantasy Shoot, all these sites, a good portion of that, after seeing the way that the league's filled, listen to the show and want to be a part of a community. So we definitely have a lot of stuff coming up. So I want you guys to keep on supporting the show, listening to us, call in, be a part of the show. This is not just my show anymore. This is your guys' show too. Always open for them. Having a great time with it. That's going to be it for tonight. I'm going to go ahead and end it with that and just say that the future is very, very exciting. And like I said before, me and Stu are going to have some college football stuff coming up for you guys as well. And if I keep on, my NHL streak ended tonight, so I got some work to do for tomorrow. Definitely get a hold of me on Twitter at dubdeuces85. You can also email me dubdeuces85@gmail.com or Google chat with me there. You guys have a happy Easter if you celebrate that, and a great weekend, and good luck to Duke and Wisconsin on Monday. You guys have a great one, and we'll be back Monday night.
Livewire.
June on a beat.
I done got blood tags, double registrations, 20 rapper high.